my journey down to the border in Lukeville, Arizona, I saw things that at first glance didn't seem to be anything new in comparison to all the footage that I had seen in the news prior. Trash everywhere, stray dogs in the desert, and Border Patrol monitoring the area.
The Tucson sector's Border Patrol chief posted this on X. Over 17,000 migrants were apprehended within the last week. This is the worst week we've ever seen at the border.
That our federal government has not only helped fund and facilitate illegal aliens crossing the border, but also building a case that the federal and state government had malicious intent, premeditated, months prior to the biggest illegal border crossing in one sitting in Arizona.
Looks like now it's business as usual, you know?
Yeah, well, the border's opened back up, and I think Hobbs called the state police back.
There. That's the road.
Puerto Blanco Drive is the road that the guy had mentioned. I searched this for hours looking for an aerial shot.
I discovered a secret staging ground about a mile into the desert that was being monitored by Border Patrol. Could this have been strategically positioned to take migrants from the official crossing and transport them via the Border Patrol road into the middle of the desert in an effort to spit them back out on the state highway in buses through stealth as if it never happened?
Additionally, the governor billed the federal government for $512 million in reimbursement. Whoa. For ongoing border operations. So I don't see a half a billion dollars being spent there. They're spending some of that money to get them out of their state as quickly as possible. Soros made his money by destabilizing small nations. Let's just say I was great at the stock market and everybody believed in the shots that I called. So I say, hey, I go buy a bunch of Apple stock and then I say, hey, Apple's gonna go up. And then everybody else buys the stock, which artificially drives it up, and then I sell mine. So I just made a bunch of money off my speculation. That's kind of what Soros did with small nations' currencies, and he destabilized those nations by doing that. They've only gotten to the point now where they can actually destabilize the U.S.
The only successful way you could cross would be with a plan and a helping hand on the other side, which leads me to believe that this response at the Lukeville border was not reactionary, but on the contrary, premeditated and organized by the federal and state government to facilitate and aid the illegal crossing of over 17,000 aliens at the U.S.-Mexico border.
That's a preview to a documentary that Serge the Purge has put together. Also, Jason Barker working with him. We're talking to the two of them right now. Again, Jason Barker, you can find Foxhole Report. Serge the Purge has his own media outlets, and you can find links to a growing network of, honest, trustworthy alternative media people at the Knights of the Storm. Angry Tiger and the Knights of the Storm report that he does with Jason Barker, and they're putting together indices of people who do their best to get everything right and to tell what is happening regardless of where the chips fall. And so you can find all that stuff at theknightsofthestorm.com. They have a list there of people and the times that their broadcasts are on. Of course, they'll take you to Guard and many other people. But joining us now is Jason Barker and Serge the Purge. Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Morning,
David. The documentary is what, about 30 minutes or so? I wanted to play the trailer instead of the full documentary because, people can find the full documentary and then find you guys as well. But we want to give them an idea of what this is about, kind of, tease it as a trailer would, as we just saw with that trailer. Where can people find the full documentary?
Yeah, it's on my YouTube channel and also my Rumble channel. It's on my Twitter as well.
Okay,
the whole thing.
Well, tell people where those are. Give us the names of your YouTube and your Rumble channel and your Twitter handle.
Yeah, my Twitter is just Serge the Purge, just like it sounds. Well, Serge the Purge, number one, and then Rumble and YouTube are just Serge the Purge, all one word.
Good. Good. And that's where they can see the full documentary of what you saw down at the border. Kind of flesh it out a little bit for us. I mean, you see the government cooperating with what's going on down there. Of course, we know they're cutting the wire and things like that. How much of a wall did you see there when you were going there? Because we've had people go down there and say, well, look, just a couple of miles away from where ground zero of the media is, there at the park in Eagle Pass, look at all these massive openings here. We got roads running through this. There's no gate in a lot of these different things. I mean, you know, if you look at the border that Trump says he built the wall, you know, it's only about 400 miles of a repaired wall and maybe about 40 miles of new wall or something like that. The rest of it's wide open. What did you see down there at the border that you want to tell people that differs from the official story?
Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of the, you know, wall itself, from what I'm aware, at least in Arizona, I think our side of the wall is a lot older than what Texas has. Mm-hmm. That's just from what I'm aware. So in terms of like the wall being there, it is actually there in Lukeville. But basically, I mean, I want to give Jason kind of full credit on this, because I don't think I would have ended up making this documentary if he wouldn't have called me, because basically when I went down there, you know, I was kind of telling him what I was seeing, and I'm like, you know, I don't even know if I should release this video. Like, I'm not seeing anything, you know? And, and basically, you know, he was like, no, that's weird. You know, you definitely should look into this. And that's when he kind of mentioned, you know, a couple of things about the porta potties and stuff. You know, you should look into these companies. And basically, you know, through that, we just kind of started connecting the dots with all this stuff, and realizing that everything that I had witnessed on video was actually all staging grounds to help, you know, illegal aliens cross the border and essentially shoot them out onto the highway. And basically, what we found, so there's another, you know, YouTube journalist named Andrew Callahan, who's, you know, a lot bigger than I am, frankly. And he went down there only a couple weeks before I did, but he actually, you know, saw the action of all the illegals at the border. And when I went down there, I tried to do it as unbiased as possible. Meaning, like, you know, I didn't watch too much footage of the news because I didn't want to have like a tainted view before I went there. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just tried to give everything the benefit of the doubt. But then, you know, I'm seeing military tents, all kinds of, you know, government funded stuff down there. And the, you know, the thing that really led it me down the rabbit hole really was just, why is there 7 porta potties 7 miles in the desert?
Something is happening here, even though I don't see it right now. This is something that's being done kind of undercover, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when we looked into the company, I ended up finding, you know, who it was. It's based out of Tucson. And it's called Stand Back Services, and they're under a bigger name called WAC LLC. It turns out they got a federal grant in September, like I think the 2nd of September, so 3 months before the illegal crossing, for $383,000 just for the porta potties, which is oddly fishy enough, right?
It's like the dog that didn't bark, right? The porta potty that doesn't have any customers.
Well, yeah, and that's when Jason, yeah, well, that's exactly what Jason was basically told me. You know, this is incredibly abnormal to have just this many random, you know, porta potties and dumpsters in the middle of the desert. And then when, you know,
just in case,
right. Exactly. Well, and I try to give it the benefit of the doubt, right? I'm like, well, maybe, you know, Border Patrol, you know, needs to, you know, use the restroom or whatever. But he's like, really, you know, 7 of those. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Right. So that's after, you know, comparing the footage, I'm like, okay, now I'm seeing actually illegals staged in this area. And if you drive, you know, so basically how it works, right, is there's this dirt road, and it only connects the actual border crossing from the highway. And then it takes you into the desert about 7 miles to the actual wall. And then there's a border road, you know, that Border Patrol actually drives on. Mm-hmm. So to be honest, it's kind of, you know, and this is more of an inference, but there's kind of like no need for this road, in my opinion. And it's very, you know, like I said, very close to the crossing. And if you watch the footage, all the illegals actually crossed at the official crossing. But then if you watch Andrew Callahan's video, they're staged off to the side by the wall out of sight. And if you watch his video, they actually wouldn't even let him film it. He got a little bit and then they kicked him out into the parking lot. And that's when I realized that, they were transporting them into a different, so there's two staging grounds. There's one that's right by the wall, and then there's another one actually not that far into the desert that has like the full package. I mean, it's military tents, you know, pretty much everything you would need if you're, you know, a homeless migrant, essentially. So I made it to that location, and the weird thing about that was the only places that Border Patrol was stationed at the entire time I was out there was the entrance to the dirt road and the actual military encampment area. That was it. I didn't see Border Patrol at the wall, nothing like that. So when you compare the footage, essentially what I believe it is they were basically trying to avoid media coverage through this by taking them out there, because this dirt road will just shoot them out on the highway, and the roads are well paved out there. I mean, you don't need four-wheel drive. You know, essentially, if you wanted to have a bus out there, it wouldn't be a big deal. And then on, and just to top it all off, that's when also we realized that Katie Hobbs, the Arizona governor, had filed an executive order in a state of emergency for the border, essentially requesting $500 million from the federal government in aid. And then that's when you realize going down there, not even close to maybe $5 million of aid down there, you know.
Wow. And of course, these massive influx of cash like that, it's kind of like the $300 million that Greg Abbott got with a pandemic lockdown. It was to help to create more of a pandemic. And so she's getting $500 million to create more of a border crisis. This is the way that the crazy upside down world that we live in. But that's real journalism. You know, what you guys did, investigative reporting, going down there, as you point out, not wanting to be biased by what you'd seen other people to do, other people say, but to actually look at it yourself and come up with your own conclusions. And that's very important that people understand how they're surreptitiously doing this. You know, when and that was that's a wonderful start for it, the porta potty thing, because really it has hit the fan at the border, all across the border. Maybe that's what it's about. That's what the hit the fan scenario. They got to have porta potties instead of a fence, I guess, because it's such a problem.
You know, at the end of the day, these people always kind of end up memeing themselves, you know, in some way or another.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Jason, your comments about this whole process and the documentary you guys put together.
Oh, right. Well, I worked with Serge because I've actually worked on the border. I was down there for about 45 days, but different location. And they had a real drug smuggling problem and people, you know, coming over, smuggling people over. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a caravan. It would be, you know, 10 here, 5 there, a constant flow.
Yeah.
So when he went out there and he said, there's nothing happening out here, I said, that's kind of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to looking at the tents and stuff on his video. I said, well, those are military tents. The hand washing station there outside of the porta potties is in military model. Now, that's not to say that Border Patrol wouldn't have access to that equipment.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking to myself, well, let's take a look and see if there was any executive orders, you know, to send the National Guard out there, you know, because maybe that was support them. Mm-hmm. And what we found is, you know, timing, location, location, location. It's almost like they knew this caravan was coming before it came. They got everything put in place. They used not just money from, you know, they actually billed the federal government. They billed them and said, hey, you're not taking care of the border, so give us $500 million. And they also took money from the, American Rescue Plan that Biden signed in. So they're getting money from here and there. And you know, knowing how military contracting works, they had to have that bid put in place, you know, had people competing on it. That's right. Way before we knew that there was a caravan coming. Then they come, there's nothing there at Lukeville on our side of the border, except for the point of entry. And then the little buildings that support that. So why would you need to hide it in the desert?
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
So I don't know. That's what it is. You know, I could say that they were out there trying to keep them from coming over. They might have been out there running detainee operations, or they might have been out there assisting. And the latter seems to be what was going on.
So would you guys say that the collapse of the border is kind of like the collapse of these buildings on 9/11?
You know, it's actually
foreknowledge and planning of this stuff. It just doesn't happen like that, right?
It's actually interesting you mentioned that, because I mean, the way I wanted to lay out the doc, because obviously I don't have a newsroom, right? Like, it's just me and Jason doing this thing. And I really wanted to lay it out in a kind of a questionnaire format, kind of like Dr. Judy Wood, like with the 9/11 stuff, like just making a good enough inference that you can think for yourself. If someone else wants to take the information even further, feel free to do so, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it truly is interesting how all this stuff is working. And, you know, as I look at this, some of the recent news that's come out about the border and the UK, because they're other people are coming in from other parts of the world into their country, swamping their country. They're saying, well, we're going to have to set aside our planning laws, which is what we call zoning here. And you look at that and you realize how that plays into the globalist agenda. Andrew Yang, the guy who was pushing universal basic income at the beginning, and then Elon Musk said, yeah, it's great. That's exactly what we need. Gave him millions of dollars. Then Andrew Yang, after he gets that funding from Elon Musk, he starts pushing other aspects of the globalist agenda, which is to say, we're going to get rid of zoning and we're going to control, wipe out all zoning from the federal government level. And so you see these types of things happening everywhere. They create a crisis. And now we've got to have this reaction to all of this. You even have the Republicans jumping in on this and saying, well, look, with all these people coming in, we're going to have some kind of a national ID like E-Verify, because they're going to take all of our jobs. It's crisis solution. And they've got these things planned in advance, just like the porta potties that they've got out there at the border. They create this, and then lo and behold, the solution is what they've been talking about doing all along, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you just said kind of hit it on the head, that the whole thing, in my opinion, is definitely not reactionary at all.
No.
and incredibly premeditated, with all of it. And same with the, and I think for the Republicans, too. I mean, I think a lot of it's just become a wedge issue for them. Yes. I don't know if they actually believe it. I mean, it's great. Like, you have to support it if they do, the right thing in the situation. But I think it'll probably go away after the election cycle.
Oh, I agree. I think there's a lot of posturing, especially in the Eagle Pass thing. But there's also, as they're talking about Eagle Pass, the articles coming out said, look, this is a town under martial law. And it's not just, it's a small little area. When you look at the massive 2,000 miles of border, and again, you were in Arizona, but you look at this massive open border, and they've got everything there for a show. And what they're doing is they're harassing residents there in Eagle Pass living under martial law, and shutting them down. It's not just that they're interdicting the people who are going to come through at that one small area, but they're harassing the people there who are citizens who've been living there for a very long time. That's why I say, when you start talking about a wall and you start talking about getting IDs for people like E-Verify and these other types of things, you need to understand that this is the solution that they wanted all along. They're creating panic, chaos, fear, so they can then get control. And it makes me think about the old Don Adams show, get smart. We got to get smart, because they're using chaos to impose control. Those are the two opposing sides in that spy sitcom thing that he had. But it truly is amazing. When you look at this, you better be careful when people ask for interdiction, to make sure it doesn't bounce back on them. If you get a wall and you get IDs for everybody, they may use that wall and those IDs against you. They may put you under martial law. And the whole thing is being enticed. It's not just what you see there with the porta potties. They've got this massive enticement, public policy. Come on in. We will give you unemployment. We'll give you free health care. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. You just got to get across the border somehow. And so this is a massive, massive welfare magnet. Pull the stuff in. And these interdiction things, even though there needs to be some interdiction there, this can easily be used against us as well. The real issue is the welfare magnet bringing people in, I think. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what we were talking. I think I actually mentioned this on Gardner's show as well, that I think eventually they'll, with this, illegal alien stuff, I think they'll end up actually going back on it at some point and essentially using that as a segue for CBDC at some point.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, you want to avoid, people, taking your jobs or whatever, it might be. This is secure. Go with this, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, E-Verify, they've already done that. Now, if you bring in a massive impoverished population, That has always been, as we've seen, whether it's in India or other places, take the number of the beast. We'll give you welfare. We'll give you health care. So all these things that they're using as a magnet to come in, and they get massive number, they get millions of people to come in, that'll be the seed of CBDC. Because these people, they bring in, well, we're going to have to, you know, have some control over this and be fiscally responsible about this and make sure we know who's getting the money. So everybody's going to have an ID, and they're going to have a CBDC, and that's the way we're going to pass out these benefits. I think that's going to be the tip of the spear on the CBDC stuff as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I also think that having this massive immigration from all these different countries, and it's not like there's a Facebook group that says, hey, let's go to America. Let's all meet up in South America here and walk in a caravan. That's not what's happening, right?
That's right.
People from different countries just happen to be lumped together. And especially when you have, a safer place to go, that's maybe 1,000 miles from where you're at, you're going to travel several thousand, 10,000 miles or something like that, to come into America. Mm-hmm. But, I see it as all these people here from different countries. If we have anything happen, whether it's a false flag, it could be a natural disaster, there's so much possibility to blame it on anybody we want to go to war with.
That's right.
And we've already set that, stated that if there's an attack on our infrastructure, we're going to consider that a physical attack. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if we have a cascading power outage and that takes the grid down, are they going to blame it on one of these people?
And if you have the grid go down and that takes us into chaos, guess what's going to happen with people who are homeless, who have no property, nowhere to go? That's going to be also the seed of massive chaos and bloodshed and all the rest of the stuff. As you're pointing out, it's not like these people got a Facebook group. Hey, let's go do this. But it is being coordinated. It's being coordinated by these NGOs. And Michael Yan has documented that as well down at the Darien Gap and other places where they say, well, if you're coming from this country, we're bringing people from this country. We're going to interject them into this other country because they're going to be amenable to people coming in at that point. Whereas at another point, they wouldn't be. The whole thing is a global conspiracy. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're talking about the welfare magnet. I was looking into Mayor Eric Adams of New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's right now trying to blame the federal government on all these immigrants he has in his city, committing all these crimes. But yet, if you look at his policies, mm-hmm. he's no bail releases. That's it's right. A revolving door for the criminals to do whatever they do. There's massive, thievery schemes going on, little gangs and stuff. And then now he's trying to give them $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And he's telling the residents, the local residents, you need to put these people up in your house.
Yeah.
So you have free lodging, $1,000 a month, and you could just run throughout the city committing crime. We're not going to do anything to you. So that's why there's so many in New York. That's why there's so many in California, because it's not just the welfare magnet. It's the lack of prosecution.
That's
you
right.
do whatever you want. So,
yeah, that's a Soros chaos. You know, that's yeah. there. You know, Alvin Bragg, even though they beat up police officers, usually they don't tolerate the beating of police officers, but he lets these guys go. And then he gets so much public kickback from that that he said, oh, we'll do something about it. But, you know, that's their instinct. That's what these Soros district attorneys are there for. And when you look at what's happening in New York, Chicago, L.A., various places like that, as they panic about all these people who have come in, all these migrants who are coming, Denver is another one. They're just fine as long as they get money. Right. It's all about the money. I just need you to send me some Washington money. Same way as it was with the pandemic, right? Well, we got this pandemic here, so send us some money. You send them some money, they don't care. They're going to be fine. They'll do whatever you tell them to do. And they'll use this as another MacGuffin to destroy their area that they're in charge of, as long as you send them money at their discretion. That's really what they're after. Talking about putting people in their homes. I just saw a story about that in Massachusetts. Had a family signed up to house some immigrants because they didn't have any housing for the illegal immigrants who were coming in. And they said within an hour, we had 4 people in our house.
Yeah, talking about wearing your heart on your sleeve. Wow.
Yeah, seriously. I know. It's like the Third Amendment violation. You know, we're gonna house this invading army and be right now. They're asking, how much longer are they going to be asking?
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting, too, because, when all this stuff happened in Afghanistan with, Biden, a couple years ago now, I mentioned that to a few people that, this is going to turn into you probably housing people from these countries at some point. And it, and honestly looks like that's exactly what's happening now, but except they're, you know, coming up through the southern border.
That's right. Except they're selling it as, you know, this is going to be a big boost to the economy. This is what you've got Democrat economists telling us, that they're going to be a $7 trillion with a T, $7 trillion boost. Hey, that's what Sam Altman's looking for. What he needs to get his artificial intelligence is he just needs an army of illegal aliens, and he's done. He doesn't need to go get money from governments and from Silicon Valley. He just, you know, monetize these illegal aliens to come in and get $7 trillion. It's funny, you know, now everything is like $6 or $7 trillion because that's what they've been throwing at whatever their crisis du jour is $6 or $7 trillion. So that's now the new the new negotiating point, right? I guess. Isn't this crazy? I mean, it's just, you look at this and yet nothing is being done. And I think that's the craziest thing of all. With all this frustration, how do you get people channeled for this? Because the Democrats are doing it deliberately. The Republicans say, well, this is their wedge issue. We're going to, you know, elect us and we'll do something about it. And yet they don't. They don't do anything about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jason said it best at the end of the documentary. What you said, it was not to denigrate society. Destabilize.
That's what Soros. Yeah, Soros, yeah, destabilizes nations. And, you know, when it comes to the money, they don't care. They're going to keep printing it, because let's just say that, you know, you're going to be bankrupt in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Well, just go ahead and charge up all the credit cards. Might as well max them jokers out, and then we'll write it off. And that's what they're going to do.
Yeah,
is they're going to bring in the CBDC at some point. And, you know, for the migrants in New York, I don't know why they don't take these all these office buildings and just house them there that are empty.
Well, and that's a big zoning issue for New York. I guess New York has a ton of empty buildings right now, and it's become it's too expensive to revamp them, but it's also too expensive to knock them down, so they're going to stay empty.
Well, and again, that's how we got to get rid of these zoning laws, right? We got to get rid of the zoning laws, and then we destroy people's equity in their homes. We make them homeless. We create public housing everywhere. And then we create this massive mega cities. You know, that's, again, zoning is something that they're trying to push at a national level instead of a local level. And it's always about keeping control at the local level or losing it to some centralized place. And that is another key area where there's going to be a fight. They're trying to get the land through the natural asset companies, or they're trying to take it over at the state level through weaponizing these conservation easements that people, the farmers, have sold to them. But it's also the zoning. And so when you look at these types of things, the NACs, the zoning, the conservation easements that now become about climate, these are mechanisms by which they can take control of land. And you look at it, if anybody in America has got any equity and any wealth, it's typically in their house. Most people are not in the stock market or anything like that. So it's important for them to take away that aspect of it. And I think they're going to do that. And, you know, there's going to be, oh, we got a crisis. We got all these empty office buildings in New York. Let's change the zoning laws. And then it goes on from there. Look what a success that was. as if anything in New York would be a success. But they do roll these things out from there, just like, you know, camera monitors and speed monitors and emission zone monitors and things like that. But let's talk about the censorship, because both of you guys have hit a lot of censorship with this stuff. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think Jason's got hit a little bit harder than me, but I have noticed that well, it was kind of weird. Like, all of a sudden, actually, as of the day that I released the documentary and put it on Twitter, Twitter started, you know, subtracting followers from my page. And I'm like, if this was a high rate, like if I had, like, you know, 100,000 followers, and, you know, because I have, you know, about 200, and they subtracted almost 30 from my page. I mean, think about the ratio there, you know. Wow. And I'm thinking, well, I don't think it's something I said, you know.
Yeah.
That people just decided to unfollow me. And also the same with YouTube. Like, when I put out the World Economic Forum documentary, they started subtracting views off my videos, and actually started doing it with all my videos, not even just that one. And eventually I just kind of made the executive decision to just pull it off YouTube for now and keep it on Rumble.
That was a World Economic Forum video.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I had the experience with World Economic Forum just like a year ago or so. And I saw something, somebody quoted them in an article. I thought, you know, I don't follow the World Economic Forum. I should put them on my feed. And so I clicked to go there to add them to my feed, and they had blocked me. So they, you guys blocked me? I never interacted with them on social media, but I guess they're aware of my reports or whatever. And so they'd blocked me. And when you talk about the fact that they are taking away followers on Twitter, I don't think really anything has changed on Twitter. Not for me. I said that and I got a Drudge link. So I'm sure things aren't going to change on Twitter for me. Cause I said, I've seen some high profile people restored and reinstated, but I said, for me, it hasn't changed at all. And Drudge put that up, linked to that tweet, and left it there for 2 or 3 days. And I said, well, I guess I'm done on Twitter now. But I really do believe that. And the same type of thing you're talking about, years ago, I would look at this stuff when the censorship stuff started first happening before we even got purged back in 2018. I would notice that, I get capped at where I am, about 130,000. I'm still there after years and years, you know. And it would notice that it would go up during the week, and then it would go up over the weekend, and then it would come down during the week. So it's like whoever's manually doing this takes the weekend off, and it would go up, and then they would subtract people. Karen got subtracted from following me. And at the same time that they pushed her to follow AOC. Now, that's not an algorithm. That is a person who is doing something like that, because there's no way they could have an algorithm that would be that stupid, because the main thing she was doing was, you know, watching my stuff. She would always put my stuff there. And if they looked at what she was doing, they would know she doesn't like AOC. So that was something that was being done directly. But, you know, that still goes on with my stuff. You know, it goes up and then they take it down, that type of thing. And I've gotten over the point of looking at it saying, was it something that I said? I know it's something that I said, but it's
it's more than that now, yeah. David. I'll tell you a quick little story. I got up and running on Facebook, and at first, you know, I did some test streaming. I said, okay, I got a Facebook page for Knights of the Storm. I was able to stream a couple test videos, and then I uploaded one video, but it takes a massive amount of time. It takes longer than it takes to make the video to upload it for some reason. So I thought,
Facebook,
well, this is
great stuff, right?
Yeah. I said, well, it'll just be easier if I live stream a replay. It'll be easier for me to get it up on. So, you know, I do my streaming software and I just play the video full screen and let it stream up there. Well, then it told me that I couldn't, my account was too young to live stream yet. But I just did two test live streams. Okay. So I said, all right, whatever. Let's get a couple followers. Let's stick around for a couple weeks. So then, you know, a couple of weeks later, I was able to live stream, and then it took my video down. Wow. Right. Said I violated community guidelines. Well, okay, we're out of Facebook jail now. So last weekend, I went to stream there, and Angus and I were sitting there. He was hosting Knights of the Storm with me, and I had a misfire. I forgot to fire the video. So it's just me and him looking kind of stupid on air for about 10 seconds. Didn't say a word. And it pulled us down and said we violated community guidelines again. And they get away with it because we're small.
Yeah.
And they've got to be using like a facial recognition AI, because we didn't say a word. There was nothing to transcribe to say that we said something we weren't supposed to say. So it just pulled us down. Doesn't tell us anything. You can petition it. You're going to get some kind of frequently asked question AI generated response. And I think what they're doing now, because if you look at people like Steven Crowder, he always had a hard time with YouTube, but they let him get too big. Mm-hmm. And once you get too big, that's a legal battle, because now you're talking about people's revenue, and they'll get lawyers and stuff.
Yeah.
So
and they're making millions of dollars, so they can pay for big legal fees.
So I think they're going after the little fish. Bullying us. And if you take a look at
especially because if you look at what Crowder talks about, you look at what Alex talks about and everything, it's controlled opposition.
Right, it's all safe subjects.
Exactly.
Honestly,
it's not anything that challenges them. Oh, let's talk about pronouns or this or that, right? You know, it's that type of stuff. And that type of stuff, actually, they like, because they want us divided and fighting against each other. It isn't anything that pulls people together. It isn't anything that exposes their agenda. It's something that highlights the conflict within our culture or religious values or something. They love that kind of stuff. They'll promote that forever.
Yeah, but going back to being really, really big, and then they can't stop you. Do you know who Dr. John Campbell is?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So he talks a lot about the vaccines, vaccine injuries. I watched a video that Andy sent me today. They're talking about the clots. He had a coroner on, these big old long clots they're pulling out, but they can't, they won't take him off of YouTube because he has 3 million subscribers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, if they did that to him, they're potentially going to lose 3 million customers.
He's too big to jail, you're saying?
Right, exactly. That's right. So yeah, they're finding creative ways. I believe they're using the AI. I think they're starting to get into facial recognition. So if they see you on someone's thing, it happened to Angry Tiger as well.
Yeah,
he got booted in 14 minutes, and we were talking about a religious topic.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then once he got out of a YouTube jail, he's broadcasting again. They took him down in like 10 seconds.
Wow.
And it was still playing the intro video and it took him down. But now the crazy thing is the religious one that they took him down and you know, put him on strike for, the video is still there. So there's obviously nothing that was said that violated anything. Otherwise they would have taken the video down. They just don't like him being, cause he talks about the Fed, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, that's where I got my first censorship, where InfoWars got their first censorship. It's 2013. On the, was it December the 23rd, the 100th anniversary of the creation of the Federal Reserve, I did the It's a Wonderful Lie. That's the first time they'd ever had anything censored. And that was about the Federal Reserve. So, and you know, talk about taking things down. I had I set up a channel. I said, all right, I'm not going to do politics. I'll just do music. So I set up a channel and I did the Christmas songs 2 years ago. And they took that down. It's Christmas songs that I did. So there's no copyright claims on it and no explanation. They just took it down and banned it. I can't even get onto YouTube to like something from somebody. I can't even log in with that. I'm not even going to bother to try to create another identity. I'm just done with them. So.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say is people, they, you know, keep talking about the social credit score. It's coming, but it's obviously already here.
It
you
is.
Know, if you're getting banned like that and everyone's getting banned, it's they obviously recognize, yeah, like what Jason's saying probably is facial recognition or whatever it is at this point, you know?
Well, you know, you're talking about how, again, if it's facial recognition, voice recognition, all these other things to shut you down right away, it's going to get worse than that because I've talked about for the longest time, this Content Coalition for Provenance and Authentication. It has a great acronym, CCPA. It's like the Chinese Communist Party of America. But it was put together with Microsoft. They're doing this with DARPA money and some other things like that. But Microsoft is kind of running this coalition. But they've got hardware companies like Intel, processors and the ARM processors on the hardware side. They've got the software companies like Adobe and on and on. And then they're allied with the big media companies who will tell them, ban this person because they're going against our official story. And so they'll be able to identify you. This goes beyond having your MAP or something like that, or your IP address or anything like that, you know, that you could get around with a firewall or something. This would go to the machine level and keep you from even uploading anything. After you're a banned person. So this type of thing, the CCPA, the Chinese Communist Party of America, brought to you by Microsoft and Adobe and Intel and all these other big tech companies, you know, that's where this is all headed. And of course, with artificial intelligence, they're going to be able to scan everybody. And they'll be, see, the thing is, having Crowder up there, for example, or having Joe Rogan up there, these guys make tens of millions of dollars, and it gives a veneer of a free press. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to them. It's not just that they got a lot of followers, but it gives people the illusion of having a free press while they censor everybody else, the general public, right? To take away freedom of speech for everybody else. You know, freedom of press is one thing. Free speech is another thing. They want to take away free speech because it's the mass of people that they're concerned about. They can easily control these gatekeepers. These mainstream alternative media people, they can easily control them. And it gives an illusion of a free speech and a free press.
Yeah, well, one thing I want to say about that actually is, and this is what I've noticed definitely since 2016, is that a lot of these, what used to be alt media journalists or independent journalists, essentially they've all become rock stars, like Tucker Carlson, James O'Keefe, you know, from Project Veritas. They've all elevated to this rock star level where now it's just become, I think, professional wrestling for everything. People will just follow these people, not because of their news anymore. It's just because they like their personality,
you know,
and they're making so much money. Now you got, I mean, I feel like that's why now you have an alternative to the alternative media, is because you can't get real news now from alt media.
That's right. Yeah. David Icke just talked about that. And I think somebody sent me an email, said he'd just had a debate with Alex Jones over that. He said, you know, you guys have been picked for this stuff. You know, Tucker Carlson is in with Musk and he gets you back in and all this. And it's a controlled situation. And it really is a controlled situation.
No, absolutely. Definitely.
Hey, but, going back to the censorship, there's another thing I want people to think about. Everything has moved, even in the military, moved that direction. It's gone to cloud-based and subscription-based service.
Yes, that's right.
So if let's just say Serge is he's using some kind of an online base for his video editing. He doesn't even have to release that or try to release that. They can see what he's working on.
Yes. That's right.
You know, and they if you cut your internet, you're unable to do anything because everything is cloud based now. That's why I keep old versions of software. Mm-hmm. I have an old computer here on the floor. If I need to create something that isn't tagged somewhere or mm-hmm. monitored, I can create it and then try to get it out in another way, you know. And then also with the censorship, I wanted to mention this. Angry Tiger, I watch his show all the time. I always support him. And I've literally gone in there. And it'll say there's 3 people, 4 people viewing, but there's like 10 people in the chat. Live.
Yeah, I know.
So how is that? They are playing with the metrics, number one, to discourage us. And number two, to make us look like maybe we're not that appealing. You know, so, oh, this guy's only got 4 followers or 100 followers or whatever.
That's right.
Or this only has 30 views. So this is what I would say to do. I ask you all to help us out. Leave a comment. Share it or leave a comment. Because
if you
leave comments... You know, how can only 10 people have watched this video if I have 100 people that made comments?
That's very important. You know? Yeah, that's very important. Push back against it. Show that the reporting is false. And of course, before they kicked us off in 2018 everywhere, I had seen that the first year. There was almost that purge was almost the 1 year anniversary of my independent show. And so I had seen, you know, when the first show first started on YouTube, they weren't controlling anything. And so I was frequently getting up 250,000 and more views. A bad video would get 60 or 70,000 views on YouTube. And then all of a sudden they radically start to go down. That's where you say, was it something that I said? You know, I mean, at that point in time, I wasn't really coming after Trump because that was 2018, you know, this stuff where he really started doubling down on vaccines and gun control and all that kind of stuff started in 2019. And so I was like, what is going on with that? And yet the number of people who were following my channel kept growing at a really fast pace. And so I got up within like the first 6 months, like 60,000 people. And then they're telling me that people are continue subscribing to the channel, but they're not watching the videos. And then the number of people subscribing to the channel got capped. And then within a couple of months, they just kicked us off completely with no explanation. So that's the type of pattern that you see. Now you're seeing that with startup media organizations and things like that, and it's spreading out everywhere. But that is the same type of pattern that I saw, you know, when I was there at that platform.
Yeah, AI is allowing them to get to us early.
Yes.
Before nobody knows who we are. I was telling you last time, you know, Substack has a program that will do your transcript, and for like an hour and a half long show, it takes about 5 minutes to transcribe that whole show accurately. So we know they can do this in real time.
That's right.
You know, and with the incident that happened with Facebook, it leads me to believe they might be trying to use facial recognition. And AI, it really is garbage. I was watching, if you go to Gates Notes, he has a podcast he puts up over there. I keep an eye on what Gates is doing because he's into so much stuff. But he had, who's the guy, OpenAI, Sam Altman?
Yeah.
He had Sam Altman on. And they both admitted that AI was garbage, absolute garbage, but they're trying to get to the next level of AI. And what's going to make it learn is the more we use it, the better it gets.
That's right.
So I'm done playing with any of these. I know they're kind of funny. I got Google's OpenAI. I got them to admit that we can't change the climate. I kind of took it through. I was like, you know, kind of arguing with it about man-made global warming. I said, well, is it possible that that people fudge the numbers to get funding. Oh, well, that is possible. There's high ethics and all this. I said, well, you know what? I like it warm. What can I do to speed this up? And it straight up said, there's nothing man can do to change the climate. So
there you go. Yeah.
But I'm going to stop playing with it. It's kind of entertaining because the more I play with it, the more it learns. So maybe this is just one of those things we don't want to play with anymore.
Well, it's scraping stuff off everywhere, you know, and that's the, and that's really our hope in a sense. You know, I don't know if you heard me talking about this, but I've talked about it a couple of times. They've already discovered that if AI starts feeding on AI material, then it's kind of like cannibalism, and it comes up and starts becoming absolutely useless. It's got to feed on humans. If it feeds on other AI, then it's like it gets, you know, Yakov-Creutzfeldt disease or mad cow disease or something like that. It starts to lose its mental ability, its ability to do anything. And so that's really our hope, because it's going to start putting out tons and tons of content, and it's going to start feeding off of its own content.
It's almost like InfoWars reporting on their own articles.
That's right.
It's like an instant reporting.
But that's what we were talking about yesterday. It's like, yeah, you know, pull an article and it's like, yeah, InfoWars, read the headline and that's it. You know, go off on your own tangent. But, you know, that's kind of interesting you say that about the, I mean, that is an interesting thought about AI. Because, you know, when I first started doing this, you know, I kind of, I kind of assumed that I would get, you know, banned or whatever at some point. And I thought maybe there'd be some safer subject matter for at least just YouTube, where I could grow the audience there and then have like kind of the more esoteric subject matter on Twitter and Rumble. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hear about the shadow banning thing. And then when it finally started happening to me like that, I was like, okay, I guess this is a real thing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. And maybe it is... maybe it gets to the point where they just want to make sure that nobody gets any audience, regardless of what you're talking about. You know, that's also a possibility. They don't want anybody else to come up through the through the ranks, because they might be a danger to them. But they've always been very focused on certain issues. And I, part of my problem with them was I was never going to play this game during the COVID stuff of all these people were afraid to say the vaccine. And so they would not use the word. They say, you know, the thing that's out there. They got caught anyway, right? They could figure that stuff out. Even if they were warning people about, you know, the thing that's out there, the thing that I will not mention, they figured that out as well. So, you know, I'm not going to hide from these people. I'm not going to play their games. And I think we need to all just.
Well, you know,
we need to look at things like Rumble. We need to look at things like Substack. I need to do more with Substack, and that's what our plans are to do, is to try to get on Substack, because they really, these platforms that are set up for free speech, and at the moment they are. I mean, maybe something will happen to them. Maybe somebody will buy them out or shut them down or whatever. But at the moment, there are some platforms out there for free speech.
Yeah, I was going to say back during the vaccine stuff, before I was doing, you know, my own media stuff, I used to listen to actually Gavin McInnes a lot, because he's a funny guy, you know, and you know, he has a censored.tv, but I realized you know, when the vaccines were coming out, he wasn't saying anything about it at all, and I was like, well, you have your own platform, like you should definitely be able to talk about this. And I actually wrote him an email, and then I just got a response back. I basically just said, hey, you know, I don't, you know, feel comfortable basically supporting your channel anymore. Like, you're not willing to speak out against the vaccine. In fact, your co-host has even acted, you know, stupid, frankly, and said, oh, yeah, if you get the vaccine, you can't get COVID or whatever. And I wrote him an email, and my response that I got back was pretty much like, hey, sorry you feel that way. You know, you don't, basically, we don't want your money.
<You know>? Well, you know, these guys that are, you know, they get this big, it's all about market share.
It is.
And, you know, my opinion, Tucker, you don't fire your home run hitter. And Tucker was the only people or only person making Fox money over there, and they fired him. So, so they say they fired him, because he talked a little bit about 9/11, a little bit about the vaccine, just enough to get people's interest that are on the right. And then they inject him into Twitter. Mm-hmm. Right. And he has his own network overnight, his own studio, does his own makeup, I guess, all that good stuff. And if they can have someone like Tucker, someone like Gavin, someone like, you know, Alex Jones, that are on board with certain things they don't want to talk about, they'll talk about other stuff to entertain you. They take up all the market share. So it's hard to pick up viewers when people are watching three, four, five people a day.
That's right.
You know, they don't have the time to pick up.
And you look at the establishment mainstream media, things like WND, Breitbart, things like that. I mean, they hang on every word that Tucker says. And they've turned it into essentially a cult like it is with Trump. You know, oh, this guy's for real. It seems limited hangout. You know, he is always still limited hangout, even when he talks about Building 7. Well, you know, you can't talk about Building 7 or they'll fire you. And it wasn't that long ago that he was mocking people, that he had an engineer who came on. The engineer said, well, let me show people what I'm talking about with this. No, I'm not going to play your video and all this kind of stuff. They just brought them on to shut them down. He's always been controlled opposition, and he's always been there to control the narrative. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, what is he doing? Is he really shedding any light on anything? Or is he there to create confidence in him? And that's a sign of a con man. And that's why I'm very critical of Tucker as well, especially when you look at his close alliance with Elon Musk. I've never trusted Elon Musk. I was always at loggerheads with Alex over that as well. So this guy, he's a technocrat. He's become the world's richest man by doing exactly what the government wants, which is to push the climate agenda. That's going to be the thing that's going to be used as an excuse to take away all of our freedoms and destroy the Constitution, destroy our lives. And he's made so much money off of that as the world's richest man. What's he doing now? He's selling the necessity of carbon taxes.
As he puts rockets, thousands of them into space.
Exactly, exactly, yeah, exactly. The hypocrisy is just insane. But what makes it work is the fact that you get people who will kowtow to him because he gives them access, because he builds them up. I mean, look, I had a friend from Austin say, what's going on with Alex? You know, with this reprogramming and everything from with Tucker and with Musk, he's now become the sage wise man of the alternative media now all of a sudden overnight. And that's what they did. You know, they invested that, but he knew about all this stuff. Yeah, he knew about the vaccine stuff more than anybody else did. And he was as much as anybody did. And he had was selling it as sugar water. I mean, this is what a con game looks like. Confidence in people so they can then stab you in the back.
I got an exercise for people to try. Go watch one of these 3-hour shows, record it, then cut out, get some video editing software and cut out everything that's a commercial to sell your product or when they refer to their product live on air. Cut all that out and see how much actual content there is.
Oh, I know, because I know what the clock is. This is a lot tougher gig because I got to do 3 hours of constant stuff. I don't have any time that I can read and prepare. When I was there, it was 2 hours of content. When you take out the of a 3-hour show, 1/3 of it was commercials, infomercials, and I would go in and we'd have like 9 minutes on, then there'd be an infomercial or local commercials for another 5 minutes. So I would come in the morning and I could come in and start the prep much, much later. And, I get ahead by about a half hour or so, and I could continue to stay ahead by, looking over those 5 minutes that I was off. I would look at, what I had in my stack of articles. I didn't listen to the infomercials. It drive me nuts. So they just brought in the audio when the bumper started playing. That's why I didn't know that Alex was doing this thing telling everybody that Trump was saving them from the bad Gates vaccine. I didn't know anything about that because I didn't listen to, the stuff in the middle. It was just my content that was there.
Well, I don't know if you recall a stint of Alex basically selling Viagra on his show. It was after you left. I think he pulled that one back, though, because you can't find anything about it anymore. So I think it,
Was he selling, literally people. Selling Viagra? Because he used to do that with Super Male Vitality.
No. This was actually a pill. And really? he had porn stars actually, do the infomercial for him saying, hey, this works great, And wow. I think he pulled it back pretty quick because I think a lot of people were like, hey,
Well, he pulled back the religious votive candles as well. Because I looked it up again because Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce had a candle like that. And so there were some articles, people saying, that's blasphemous to our Catholic religion or something, these votive candles and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, well, yeah, but Alex did that back in November of 2021. I did a report on it at the time. I said, the perfect Christmas gift is coming up. You can get an Alex Jones votive candle and you can buy some Donald Trump wrapping paper for it. You got everything covered. I mean, who could want more, right? he's gone to sacrilegious candles to pornographic stuff to he hooked up with a new age guru to sell,
you know, he was doing Reset Wars.
What's that?
Reset Wars too was kind of like that, the metaphysic kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, he hooked up for a while with this internet guru who was selling The Secret, which is like, you know, the power
product. Yeah.
It's this Oprah Winfrey type of new age garbage that was out there. I mean, he'll try anything for a buck. It's at the point now where he has absolutely no principles, and it's been that way for a couple of years. Actually, the year 2020, it was pretty obvious that that was where he was. So yeah, it's sad, but you know, that's the key thing. You know, we need to look at where we can go places, and I have been dragging my feet on it, but I need to get onto a Substack, and we need to have a better presence there. You guys probably need to be there as well.
Yeah, I've got a Substack that I post all the videos as an audio podcast. Mm-hmm. So I have one for The Foxhole and one for Knights of the Storm. So I always put them up there, usually the day of or the day after we go live. Mm-hmm. It'll be up there. So I know a lot of people, especially if you're traveling, the audio format's better because it doesn't consume the battery in your devices as quickly. And it requires less bandwidth. So if you have a bad connection, it's less likely to buffer. So I always do the audio there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good that you're there. And, you know, and I know you guys put up articles as well. I haven't been putting up any articulations of the show, but that's something that we need to do, just trying to figure out how we're going to do it. Because it's the type of thing where, you know, there's not the money to hire somebody to do that. So it's a difficult thing to figure out how to bootstrap this stuff up. And I know you guys are in the same type of situation. I mean, you're, tell us, what you're doing in terms of how you're sustaining yourselves. Is this a hobby for you? Or are you taking donations? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much for me right now, I take, donations. I mean, ironically enough, David, I'm a music teacher as my day job. I teach guitar and classical piano.
I was going to actually play the clip. I thought Jason's comments were great on it. You playing guitar, electric guitar. It was really good. And I love Jason's comment where he's from Back to the Future. Your grandkids are going to love this stuff or whatever. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, unfortunately, that's the way music has gone now. I mean, it really is sad to see a lot of young kids coming in and not even knowing music with, you know, instruments in it anymore. But yeah, that's my day job. Of course, I'm trying to, you know, do this full time at some point, but just building it up. And yeah, I take donations. I got links on all my pages on how you can help support if you feel like the information helped you.
Good. And I'm glad that you're teaching kids music, because we're becoming very, very, very illiterate, as you can see from the charts. People don't know what music is, and it's getting dumber and dumber. We're going, that's just one area of idiocracy, but it really is a glaring point there in terms of music education that's missing. How can people support Knights of the Storm and the Foxhole Report, of course, Angry Tigers, Tiger and Snake Report. How are you guys set up there for people to support you guys?
Well, we're through Rumble, so if you feel like donating to Rumble, then you know, you can tip us there. I do have a PayPal set up, which I haven't used yet, and I think I did add a donate button on our page. But what we really are trying to do is we wanted to get on the same thing with the Spreaker and the Spotify. I'm trying to get it out there so I can monetize.
Yes.
The problem is this censorship stuff. They want to keep you small. The Knights of the Storm's actually got a little bit of traction through Spotify. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Spotify pushes it out to all these other places. And based on those, I think you got to hit 1,000 views a month within a 30-day period. And then you can monetize it.
Spotify has been where I've been the most heavily censored. I mean, I think I'm still on there right now, but typically what'll happen is when things change, and I got all of my stuff wiped out in the first week of December after I, talked about the vaccine as being mass murder. They shut me down, even though I've been there for years on Spreaker, but Spotify would refuse to accept my podcast, and they were the only ones. And so when I started to back up, I said, well, let's try that there. And last time I looked, I was still on Spotify. But typically after a couple months, they kick me off. They're the only ones who've kicked me off of any podcast has been Spotify. So, you know, that just as a word of warning.
Yeah, I have a backup plan.
Good.
We have a couple of backup plans. But that right now, that was just the easiest one. And it has a sight on more places, and they're like, it looks across all those places and it tallies those views. So that's the quickest way for us to get to 1,000. So we can, because I don't want people to have to donate. I want, you know, if you listen to it and we they throw some ads in there, preferably not for Pfizer products, but you know, it can sustain itself. And you know, we don't need a lot of money, just enough money to upgrade equipment and things like that.
That's good. Well, that's the key thing. And you know, the truth is a powerful thing. We don't need to defend it. We just need to unleash it. And even if we unleash it in a quiet spot, God can make it go around the world. As Travis pointed out, he said, God doesn't deal in secrets. He is mighty. He declares his plan in the open because no one can oppose him. All this New Age nonsense is about hidden meanings. And all the stuff that the technocrats are doing is to try to hide things. But you can't hide that light, not even under a bushel. Thank you for joining us, folks. Have a good day.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.